UJFM, in the forefront of global excellence. UJFM, shaping the future.
We also do have our prof, our very own prof, Prof Chidezi Marala, outgoing VC at UN. Now, good morning, Prof.
Outgoing VC at UJ.
At UJ, yes. Sorry. I mean, you're going to the UN. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, Prof. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. As you know, I am always excited to come to UJFM. I think UJFM is better than Power FM.
No, definitely. Now, let's get right onto it, Prof. So you are very, very passionate, and I know this is very clear to the entire globe, about the taking, taking South Africa and Africa altogether into the 4IR age. Now, you must be very proud of your initiative. So how significant is this launch?
It is absolutely very significant. It's exactly 5 years ago that I stood on the podium and I said I am going to position the University of Johannesburg as the University of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. At that point, we were number 6 in terms of research output. We are number 1 now.
Wow.
For those with ears, let them hear. For those with eyes, let them see. We are the number 1 research university in South Africa. So I'm excited about that. And we have done very, very good things. We know about the Africa by Bus project. That has taken more than 10,000 students to many different countries, as far as Kampala in Uganda. We know about the artificial intelligence course. I hope you have taken it.
No, we have, definitely.
Which all our students are required to take.
Yeah.
And so that when they speak about artificial intelligence, when they speak about chat, GPT, they know about that more than the students of other universities. I'm not going to name, I almost named a university that is located in Bloemfontein.
Just next door.
But I am quite excited about it. And this project, which is really 3D printing, one of the core technologies of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, actually interfacing with housing, is really a cherry on top.
Yeah.
And I have to thank the department for supporting us.
Now, Prof, we talk about disruptive technology. Does 4IR work in a third world context where jobs are actually short in supply?
Well, firstly, jobs are connected. I think we need to understand that.
True.
We are here in Bloemfontein, in Doornfontein. If I were to give you a historical account for this place, this is where they used to make all the garments. Our shoes used to be made in Doornfontein.
Mm.
Our uniforms used to be made in Doornfontein, and so on and so forth. But they no longer do it now. Mm-hmm. Why? No, they don't do it now because we buy things that are made in China and other Asian countries, which means because of the weakness in productive cost, because we live in an integrated economy, just because of that weakness, we now import clothes from outside the country. So we have to modify our productive forces, because if we don't modify it, the industries that still exist in South Africa are simply going to disappear. Because when you go and buy, whether it is a cell phone, you don't want to know where it is made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you go and buy clothes, do you even look where the clothes is made? No, you want good quality. So we need to modernize our ways of production, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution is actually a mechanism of doing that. Now, the question is, it's taking away our jobs. Not doing anything about the Fourth Industrial Revolution is going to take more jobs.
Definitely.
As it has happened for textile industry.
Mm. Now, Prof, you're speaking about weakness, right? And I know that you're talking about South Africa in general, how that we export stuff from outside countries, from overseas, in order to get the quality material. Now, with that being said, do you think there is an appetite in South Africa to kind of embrace such cutting-edge technology like the 3D construction print?
No, absolutely. I mean, if you go to our automotive industry, one of the things that South Africa, we don't say too much about, is that South Africa is one of maybe the top 15 largest producer of cars.
Mm.
You know, we make Mercedes-Benz cars in Eastern Cape, which are left-hand drive, you know, which basically means it's not for domestic market.
Exactly.
It's for overseas market. And when you go there and see the kind of production techniques that you see there, surely South Africa actually embraced the technologies of the fourth industrial revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was brewing people at university, I used to brew beer at South African breweries.
Uh-huh.
And if you go to the way they do that, and you can name any of our companies, whether they are making soap, you know, they are all automated. They are all automated. So South African industries do embrace these technologies. I think the big issue that we need to deal with is how do we incentivize South African companies to invest more into this, because they are not necessarily cheap. Our 3D printer was several millions for us to be able to acquire those machines. So we need to incentivize and promote our companies to start adopting these technologies.
Yeah. Now, Prof, how do we make more of this technology accessible for our young people, not only to students who have easier access to this technology? How do we make it accessible for every young person who wants to be a part of this initiative, who wants to be part of 4IR?
Well, in the educational space, I would hope that you are engaged on these technologies. I would hope that you are forming, study groups on chat, GTP, you know, GPT, GPT, you know. I hope you are going. This is not the only 3D printer that we have. We have other 3D printers in all our campuses. You go to the chemistry department, we are making chemicals using 3D printers. I hope you are actually involved in all this. And then to make it more accessible to people who are outside the university system, we need to partner with institutes such as the Johannesburg Technical College, for example.
Mm.
The TVETs must actually be an extension of what we do, so that we can bring more people into what we do. If you go to our company that does, we have a company here that gets entrepreneurs to be involved in what we are doing. We need to get more people. Small businesses need to participate. You know, our tech sector must extend to our townships. We just opened a center in Devland, 200 million rand, where we are going to be doing 3D printing. We are going to be doing things for communities in Soweto,
mm-hmm.
so that they actually participate in that. If you go to our schools, we have a primary school in Soweto, Funda Ujavule. It is a tech-based school.
Beautiful.
And these are kids from Soweto who are young. If you go to our secondary school, UJ Metropolitan,
mm-hmm.
we're just there. They are doing robotics. They are doing robotics. If you
Amazing.
Look at the Techno Lab, which is a lab where we teach robotics. We were teaching robotics in Limpopo to teachers so that they can be able to teach their students. And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not free. Nothing is free. We pay for it.
Yeah.
It's an investment not only on the community of UJ, but on the broader South African community.
Prof, you are talking about the broader South African, just South Africa in general. For me, right now, it's a bittersweet moment because now you're leaving UJ, you're leaving us here, of course, to take up a very prestigious position as rector and principal of the UN University in Tokyo. Now, what does your position entail? And most importantly, will you push the African agenda?
Well, I'm going to work for the world. So I'm going to work for the world and I'm going to push the agenda of the world.
Definitely.
And the agenda of the world, by the way, includes Africa.
Definitely.
In a very big way.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about issues of food security, it's a bigger problem in Africa than in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Until quite recently, when we talk about conflicts, interstate conflicts, intrastate conflicts, they were mainly in Africa, but of course now we have a big war in Europe that has changed that. Europe now is a center of conflict for the first time ever since 1945. So we are not going to leave anybody behind.
Mm.
We are not going to leave Africa behind. We are not going to leave Asia behind. We are not going to leave Europe behind. As you can see, when it comes to issues of peace, they are being left behind.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work for the world. And you are going to benefit. Africa is going to benefit from me working for the world.
Prof Chidizimarala from UJ to the world. Thank you so, so much, Prof.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We really appreciate you.
I really am impressed with UJ students. You are dynamic leaders. And I am hoping that in the future, I will be seeing you with big communication companies.
Definitely.
That are going to be communicating not only with the UJ community, but with the South African community, the African community across the African continent. You are our leaders, and when we see what you are doing, we sleep at ease that our future is actually very, very bright.
Thank you so much, Prof. Really appreciate you.
Siyabonga.
Siyabonga, Prof. Prof Chidizimarala on that one, the outgoing VC at UJ. Man, what an amazing human being.
This is UJFM. 95.5. UJFM. Shaping the future.